So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tunein.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always gives ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this fifth day of January 2024. And I'm still used to writing 2023 down, but I'm getting it together. And tonight we have the boss himself, Josh Booth, is our producer. Hey, Josh.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And we have none other than that legend, Derry Chaplain, John McTernan.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. If possible, could you jack your sound up a little?
Okay, can I? Let me see what we can do. You've got Jack. Let me see. Can try? How's this now, John?
Yeah, better. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Very good. We're going to pick it up tonight. The title of the message, what was the title of the message? was Three Horrible Years of Communist Revolution, One Down, Three Down and One to Go. And we're in Psalm chapter 2, and we finished off we left off in verse 5. So we're going to pick it up there in verse 1, and we'll read it through. Go ahead, John. Read verses 1 through verse 5, and then stop.
Oh, that's in Psalm chapter 2.
Yeah.
Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure.
All righty, so we did we've been going through these verses, you know, kind of deep, and we'll just really go over it very quickly. Verse 1, why do the heathen rage? That word heathen there in the Hebrew is the same as we use for nations. Why do the nations, that word rage is rebel, and imagine a vain thing. And here, that's they imagine a thing where they want God's will to comply with their will. And so here he says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers counsel together against the Lord. Now, most all through Scripture, the Lord always refers to the second person of the Trinity, you know, the Lord Jesus. And when it refers to the Father or the Ancient One, okay, refers to the Father. But now in this case, you've got more than in these next few verses, several applications. And so here he goes on, because what he's referring to against the anointed, he's referring to two things. One, the Lord Jesus is the anointed. He is the anointed one. And then when it refers to his anointed, that's us. Those are the ones that God has anointed to follow him. So you've got two applications there. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. We went through a lot. We showed five places in Scripture where the Lord refers to those having them in derision. And then we showed you how the application, how that would apply today. Would you say, John, today, people that that don't know what a woman is, do you think they're in derision?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. I think it involves delusions, craziness. They don't know up from down and stop from go. Their minds have become reprobate and so full of sin, they can't think anymore.
So do you think when these men have a day where they feel like maybe they're a woman, that they can be that they are a woman because they're feeling like they're a woman that day, you think that's derision?
I would say so, Pastor Ernie. You know, delusion and derision kind of flow together. I mean, they're in having serious delusions, and they don't know anything. They've lost their thinking process in derision.
Not long ago, Al Sharpton was out, and he was saying that the Bible actually condones abortion. Do you think Al Sharpton is in derision?
Pastor Ernie, my philosophy with Al Sharpton is if there's ever some sort of an event, and it usually involves race, and Al Sharpton shows up, whatever he says, I take the opposite position. He never, ever tells the truth. So that derision is there. It's unintelligent. They have, their minds can't think anymore. Unintelligent.
Franklin Graham just came out, and I praise the good Lord, because he finally came out and he really went down hard on the Methodist Church in England and here too, because they're, some of them, I guess there's a big split here in the United States in the Methodist Church. A lot of them have left because of their pro-homosexual stand and their pro. But now, within the leadership, and that caused a big division too in England, they in the church, they're not going to use the term husband or term wife. No husband, no wife, no children. No boy, no girl. They can only talk about persons, okay? And so do you think God has them in derision?
Yeah, that's nonsense. There's no intelligence in them, Pastor. They're dumb. They really are dumb. And so, I look at it as judgment. I look at it as the Lord turning them over. Their minds can't think anymore. In the Bible, it says he made us male and female.
Okay, so in many different places in the Bible, he tells you, for example, in Isaiah 66, verse 4, that God has chosen their delusion. And the reason he has chosen their delusion is they chose not to listen to him. They chose not to listen to his words, not to receive and not to be obedient to him, but to rebel against him, so that somehow that they can overcome God. So he chose their delusion. In Psalms 14:1, it says that those that say the fool has said in his heart there is no God. So if you have a fool that says there is no God, okay, would you say that person's in derision?
Oh, yeah. They don't have any intelligence in their mind. It's all been, like, wiped out.
So have you ever asked them, Pastor Ernie,
how much more dumb can you be to say that a man can have a baby? I mean, how much I mean, when they, and they believe it, they'll argue with you.
Yeah, but
it's not biological.
How dumb do you have to be if you're a man to want to have a baby? Okay, but here's the thing. Okay, look, how could it possibly be? How could we exist if there's no God, no creator, then whose image are we made in? We're made in the image of somebody, right? And then if we're here, then there is a God. If there is no God, then we don't exist, right? So...
Yeah, Pastor Ernie. Everything... They have to make... Excuse me, I'm tongue-tied here. I think that the evolutionists and all of them that go down that road, I think that they have more faith in unbelief than we have faith in belief, because they have to believe that the whole, all life with all the DNA and all of that somehow came together by chance.
Okay, so let me ask you this then, because there's more to it than that. There's a reason they do that. First of all, I was telling a story yesterday about myself and the professor who I debated with on evolution versus creation. And I showed him how in 5 minutes I could prove creation by just standing out there on the ground that was created, looking up in the sky that was created, the fact that we were there and so on. And I said, here, you have all of this physical proof. Okay, everything is here. You have absolutely no proof for it, for the theory of evolution. And so then his response was, theoretically, if no one acknowledges your existence, then you don't exist. In other words, if you're out there, John, and you're in a crowd of people, and all the people in there don't acknowledge that you're there, even though you're there, right? Then you're really not there if they don't acknowledge you, right? And so,
oh my goodness.
Well, I told the folks last night, this is a story I told. I did the only thing I could do in this, because I had to get my point across. I didn't have much time. I got him in a headlock and I dust rubbed the top of his head. And he was screaming, oh, my hair's falling out. And my wife came out on the porch and she had this strange look on her face. She said, what on earth are you doing? I said, I am being acknowledged. And I was. He knew I was there. I guarantee he knew I was there. So, but I said all that to say this, John. You see, these people believe that if they don't acknowledge the existence of God, then they don't acknowledge a God that they have to obey, that they can live right, any way they want. If they don't acknowledge God, then the God can't exist. It's like they look around and they say, well, I don't see God looking at me, so since I don't see God, God doesn't see me. That is delusion, is it not?
Yeah, it all centers around them. It's all them, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah.
What they think, what they feel, what they see, it's all centered around man and not around God. So once they center around man like that, they're on the road that for a reprobate mind.
So it's like Gloria Olstein said, it's not about God, it's about us. I was thinking, wait till God finds out, right? So,
Pastor Ernie, do you remember years ago there was that big atheist from Cornell University?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you remember his name?
He debated Ken Hovind, and Hovind ripped him to shreds.
Well, one day I heard him say, this atheist, I just can't think of his name, and he said that if there is a God, after he dies, if there is a God, he'll prove that that God doesn't exist. And honest, that's what he said, Pastor Ernie. And this guy was a leading atheist with all of these swelling words and nonsense concepts and thoughts. So he died. He wrote several books. I can see his face. I can't think of his name. And I would say no more than a week or two after he died, no one talked about him anymore.
Yeah. That's exactly what it says in Ezekiel 28, chapter 20. That's what will happen to those people. It's in, that's what that happens to the devil when he's gone. Anyhow, so he goes on to say, "Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." Now, what you have here, actually that word out there in Hebrew means, "I poured out my son, I poured out my king upon the holy hill of Zion." And so here you have God the Father referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. But then in verse 7, it says, "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." Well, here the Father gave the decree here. The Son is declaring this decree. So the Lord Jesus here is the only begotten of the Father. "This day I have begotten thee." He goes on, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth," well, "for thy possession." Well, again, the heathen word there means nations. I mean, why would the Lord Jesus want a bunch of Democrats?
Another way to look at that, Pastor Ernie, is non-Jews.
Yeah, that's what he's referring to. And he says here, "Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." That rod of iron, we see that in Revelation 19:15, don't we?
Yeah, that's the word of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, Revelation 2:26-27, it refers to the, and he says this, that, "Be wise now, therefore, O you kings, instructed you judges of the earth." Now, that would apply today. Do you think that would apply to not only like presidents and that, but to the World Health Organization, would that, the World Economic Forum, NATO? Do you think that would apply to all of that?
Yeah, I think anyone in authority like that.
"Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with his trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." So, do you think that is referring to a futuristic time during the tribulation and the to the church age, to the dispensation we're in right now today?
Yeah, it means to pay attention, and I see that "kiss the Son" as like affection.
Yeah,
at least he be angry. You know, that's like coming to Christ as your Savior, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That wrath being kindled just a little, usually when you see that, Pastor Ernie, in scriptures, that's the tribulation period in the day of the Lord.
Yep. Now, he mentions a couple of things there where he says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and perish from the way when his wrath is kindled just a little bit." Of course, now, we know that the tribulation period is the wrath of God. That's referred to all through the scripture, is the wrath of God. But there's two sins the Bible speaks of, and most everybody has them confused. One is the unpardonable sin, and the other is the unforgivable sin. They're not the same. And so the unpardonable sin was referring to the nation of Israel. That was the leaders, the national leadership, and that was the blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord said it would not be forgiven them in this age. Actually, he used the word world, this world or the world to come, meaning the fifth dispensation when he said that, or the sixth dispensation which we're living in. So when will that be forgiven, the nation of Israel on a national basis, the remnant, actually, if he gives you a very clear number, one-third of those, of the nation, that sin will be forgiven of them. And that will be when?
Pastor Ernie, that'll be at the second coming of Jesus Christ over all the nations gathered together for Jerusalem to battle. And then he's going to defend Israel, and all Israel at that point are going to recognize and confess that Jesus Christ is their Messiah and Savior.
Okay, so that's Zechariah chapter 13 and 14, huh?
Yes. Yes.
And so now here, when you reject, when that offer of salvation, what Christ did, when his sacrifice is offered to you and you reject that, then that is the unforgivable sin, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is no way for eternal life. There is no salvation but through Jesus Christ.
So he says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. You perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And so there you go. That's the smart thing to do, huh?
Okay. That is the key to eternal life.
Did I announce that you're with me tonight? You know who I have live in the studio here? What's Right, What's Left contributor, Matt Klein. And we were doing study. I forgot to announce his name. Okay, say hello, Matt Klein.
Hello, Matt Klein.
There you go.
Good evening, Pastor.
There you go. We got into the study, and I'm sorry about that. John would have hit me if I'd done that to him.
No, I wouldn't, Pastor.
Oh, well.
But Psalm 2 is a real powerful psalm, Pastor.
You're telling me it is. That's why it took me so long just to go through those first four verses. But anyhow, we got it done in time for the weekend because I got a whole new message coming up this week. But right now, we're going to go to a fast break, and we'll be back right after this. We got a whole lot to do. Be right back with more.
America, America, is it too late to save you? Will foreign troops invade your soil? Will government enslave you? Will the greatness that was once your crown be trampled in the streets? Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the America. Once God's word was your standard, how gradually you've compromised, how far you finally wandered. For the years of silent apathy, to God we now repent. For the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson. Learn. America, America, this land needs Jesus now. If he's confined within the church, its walls will crumble down. We must awake, we must arise for his kingdom to secure. We know the battle has been won, yes, the victory is sure. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Now don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better open up your eyes and see the lesson to
be learned. All right, I got my eyes wide open. I certainly do. And you know what I know? I know that on January 9th, I think that's Tuesday, January 9th it is, Dana Davis, an internationally recognized economist, and he is going to be at our Tea Party meeting. That is going to be, again, Tuesday, January 9th at the Mensenbaum Center there in Chesterland from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., and he is going to give us an analysis. How well has the Biden done when it comes to building back better? We kind of know that, don't we? But then he's going to give us an in-depth prediction on where it's going to go, what the economy is going to do in the very near future. And so that's this coming Tuesday at the Mensenbaum Center, 8200 Cedar Road in Chesterland. That's the Mensenbaum Center, 8200 Cedar Road in Chesterland. So that's Geauga County, Northeast Ohio, folks. And we've been noticing something that's happening up in this neck of the woods, John. All the patriot groups are coming together. They're turning out in larger numbers. And a lot of it, I think, has got to do with tactical civics is a big part of that, I believe. Okay. That they're kind of all united under one roof. And that reminds me, Tactical Civics is going to be, they're having their meeting Friday. Let's see, is Friday the 12th? Yeah, that will be, and you know what? I'll have to give that later on during the week because I don't have it out here right now. I'll have to write it down. So that's the 7:30. Now, John, did you watch that C-SPAN tonight with Matthew Graves, District of Columbia, or District of Crime, U.S. Attorney? Did you watch the propaganda play that he put up on C-SPAN tonight, John? John, are you there?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Did you watch that thing on C-SPAN with Matthew Graves?
No, a whole bunch of things came up, and I was not able to watch it.
Okay, well, let me just give the folks an update. Matthew Graves is a U.S. attorney from District of Crime. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, Matthew Graves, I'm asking you right now, if you're listening out there, and if anybody knows Matthew Graves, tell him what I'm saying. Have you no honor at all? Do you have no honor? Do you have no decency? Do you have no integrity? Matthew, have you become totally treasonous? What they did is they put a very clearly crafted, they spent money to make sure this was put out, propaganda and villainizing every one of, you know, well, I guess it's about 70 million Trump supporters out there. And so... Yeah, John, you got to kind of hold that still because it's making a lot of racket. They villainized 70 million Trump supporters there. And so here, they did the film on the coup that they call the insurrection. It was a coup led up by the very, very corrupt government, very corrupt, and Nancy Pelosi, and they tried to turn on President Trump. They did this part about George Washington, how after he had served his two terms, even though everyone was begging him, even all these people were begging him to serve again, to stay in office, he knew he couldn't. He had to do the right thing and step down. So they try to compare George Washington with Donald Trump and how Donald Trump should have been like George Washington and just stepped down. John McTiernan, you were a U.S. special agent for many years. Let me ask you this. If you were the president of the United States and you felt that there was election fraud, would it not be your duty as the commander-in-chief to have that election fraud investigated? Would it not be?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. And this is the bind that they're in now, because he is the president of the United States. And if he felt and had reason to believe that the 2020 election was stolen, he's obligated to investigate it and get to the bottom of it. So all this argument against him and what he did and what he said in a real court of law, and I don't know if we've got one left, but in a real court of law, it doesn't amount to anything. Because if he says, and he presents it, let's say he starts presenting the evidence, which is out there, then he has every right to do what he did.
All right, so was he alone in that opinion, or were there about a million supporters there who felt the same way? So if you had a million people come there, for every one person that was there, how many do you think in this country felt the very same way that didn't make the trip?
Oh, there's tens of millions. And as time has gone on, there's more and more and more, Pastor.
Even 20% of the Democrats themselves acknowledged that the election was stolen. And so now he comes out, and here's why I'm saying, Matthew Graves, have you no shame at all? Do you remember what happened in there? There was the films of Ashley Babbitt. And in that film, you saw a dirty cop. And I mean, his name was Bird. He was a dirty bird. A real dirty bird, right? Very corrupt. Here's this woman, Ashley Babbitt, a pretty young woman. And he pulls out a gun, points a blank, and shoots her right at, I believe it was in the throat, where he got her. Kills her, murdered her. To shut up, to keep him quiet, because he could have dropped a dime on where he got his orders from. They promoted him. And here, Matthew Graves, have you got no shame at all? Is there no truth in you at all, Matthew Graves? Okay. And if anybody out there knows Matthew Graves, tell him what we're saying here tonight. You know what they did with that? They made it appear that Ashley Babbitt took her fist and broke the glass and was breaking the glass. She was a back away from the glass. She wasn't even up against it. Besides that, she could take her fist and break that glass.
Ernie, there was I don't know what type of police officer, but there was a police officer standing next to her.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. And he had a narrow shot. I mean, if he would have jerked or got hit or something and pulled a little to the right, he would have shot a police officer.
Yeah, but that never would have come out on the fake news media, would it?
Pastor Ernie, when we put this all together, what happened on January 6th, tell me how many police officers were shot and killed or wounded or maybe injured by the protesters.
According to Matthew Graves, shame on you, Matthew Graves, there were six that were seriously, seriously wounded.
That's all a lie. It's all a total lie, Pastor Ernie. They keep it going. They keep the lie going. They have no conscience. Their conscience is seared as with a hot iron. They will say anything and do anything, Pastor Ernie.
You ought to have seen the way they made it look. They had these people out there, that these people were going to, they were yelling, Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi, we're going to come for you, we're going to kill you. Well, there were some using foul language, and they're saying some things like, yes, you ought to be strung up and hung, okay? But we all know that the FBI had their insurgents all through that crowd. We know that. It's come out. It's not even a secret anymore. And I believe these people were the ones that were doing that. Now, they also had... you have an article there, Matt.
Yeah. This is from Jim Hoff, WND. After months of silence, Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes calls the Gateway Pundit, tells us the Biden regime is now sending a prominent J6 prisoners to mental institutions to keep them from talking like in the old Soviet Union. And so this here is December 21st, but it says on Wednesday, Stuart Rhodes, the founder and president of Oath Keepers, reached out to the Gateway Pundit. This was the first time we have heard from Stuart in months since his Washington, D.C. show trial. Stuart was on a 90-day phone restriction at the federal prison he is held at in Maryland. When I asked Stuart how he was doing and if he had any allies in prison, he told me, almost every prisoner that I talk to here is a Trump supporter and is aware of the nonsense, and I get a lot of fist bumps, actually. That's good. Even in the prisoners are pro-Trump today. Stuart reminded me how he predicted that Democrats were going to use the 14th Amendment to go after President Trump. Stuart predicted this 2 years ago. This is what Stuart said. The narrative from day one, from the night of January 6th, was this Trump's fault. That Trump sparked an insurrection and incited an insurrection, or even plotted to carry one out. This is Stuart saying this. I was sued along with President Trump, Oath Keepers, Proud Boys, myself as an individual. Enrique Terrio and a few other individuals in both groups were sued in three different civil suits. And they're still pending in Washington, D.C., in front of Judge Mehta, the same judge that presided over my trial, over the Oath Keeper trial. He's hearing three cases by members of Congress, by a group of police officers in D.C., and then also from the District of Columbia itself, all alleging the same narrative, that President Trump is the head of a conspiracy to attack the Capitol. And the first lawsuit was filed back in February 16, 2021, by Benny Thompson and other members of Congress. That's been the narrative from day one. So it's not at all a surprise that across the country, in these different states, they're trying to argue that President Trump committed insurrection and is no longer eligible to run for office.
I'll tell you who should be tried for treason. Benny Thompson, you should be tried for treason. Nancy Pelosi, you should be tried for treason. Chuckie Schumer, you should be tried for treason. Listen, President Trump several times said, look, let's call out the National Guard. Let's bring the National Guard in here. Rhodes and some of the others were saying, come on, President Trump, call out the military. You're the president. You can call out the military. He did things by the book, and which was a mistake. But here, everything is coming out now. This is why, shame on you, Matthew Graves, shame on you for bringing out that treasonous propaganda piece that you brought out. In there, in the one section they had, John, where this one cop, a D.C. cop there in the rotunda, he was by himself and the crowd was moving in. And you can see if this wasn't a put-on thing to lead the crowd in there, he would do antics. Like he would stand up and act like he's going to fight with them, and this whole crowd. And then when they would come up close, he would back out, and he would go a little ways, and then he would turn around, and he would do these. It was like a Three Stooges thing, okay? And the whole idea, you could even tell the looks on the people in the crowd, like, what in the world is he doing, okay? But then they were dumb enough to let him lead them right into, you know, a trap there. But that whole thing was, again, it was a coup, just like in third world countries, put up by Nancy Pelosi. And you know what? I am so ashamed of Mike Pence. Mike Pence had the opportunity to do the right thing. President Trump said to him, Mike, do the right thing. His job was to make sure, if there's any doubts, if there was any claim at all of election fraud, Mike Pence's duty was to look at that. And his job was to say, I want 10 days to go. And because right in front of him on January 6th stood Jim Jordan, Ted Cruz, a number of your congressmen and senators, Josh Hawley, that little green woman. They stood there with evidence in their hands. In their hands, they had proof. They had evidence, right? How much evidence have we brought out? What just happened with True to Vote? They just won that big case in Georgia. But in Georgia, and where here, that Raffensperger there in Georgia got caught flat out lying, they found out that there was at least 67,000 people that did vote. And guess what, John? They were not eligible voters. 67,000 ineligible voters.
Right, Pastor Ernie. You're absolutely right. There was they added it up. There was like people that voted out of they were from out of state voted. They were underage voted. They were criminals. They voted. They were dead and they voted, and other irregularities. And they added up to 60,000, and Trump only lost by 14,000, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, I know. And guess what, John? 99% of those votes, that 67,000, was for Biden.
Exactly. Now, what do you it always goes that way, Pastor Ernie. Always.
And still, I'm very concerned here in the 24 election about these mail-in ballots. With these mail-in, as long as you're going to have mail-in ballots, you're going to have extreme election fraud, aren't you? Just put it right on the end.
Yeah, what they do, Pastor Ernie, they wait until the election's over. And let's say they're losing, well, I'll pick a state, Pennsylvania. They were losing Pennsylvania by 300,000 votes, and all of a sudden they manufactured 400,000 votes.
Yeah.
They came in.
I saw the truck that came in, a semi-load. It was loaded with ballots, with freshly printed ballots, Biden ballots. And you have in Pennsylvania, you have the Rhino Republicans there that were in cahoots with the communists.
Oh, they're disgusting, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, there's nothing more disgusting.
And every state, we're riddled with these rhinos. You got them big time in Ohio. We have them here in Texas.
In Ohio, they're called
Pennsylvania.
Ohio, they're called the Rhino 22 Rhino, the Blue Rhino 22, the Blue Rhino 22, in Ohio. And there was one guy on the radio. On the radio before that election, going all the way back to 2016, was saying, people, please check out, vet the person you vote for. Just don't go by the letter behind their name, because Democrats are registering in the primaries as Republicans, okay? And I was warning people, didn't I, Matt? Mm-hmm. You were listening, okay? Over and over, we warned people. It was, and that's what they're doing out there. It's like they don't have them in it. They just don't have it in them to do anything fair, you know, and anything honest. It's just not there. And so
that's because they're of their father, the devil, Pastor. He was a liar from the beginning.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. We're going to be in this second hour, John, and next Friday, too. No, I'm sorry. It's next Thursday. We're going to be taking a look at with Mr. Kane on the radio program. He's one of 200 service. In fact, he's leading up over 200 service veterans pledged to hold the military leaders accountable for vaccine mandate. Guess what? That 231 current military members have now it's exploded into thousands. Where right now people are citing present and former military, and a large number of generals, former generals, have signed up to this to hold service members and veterans accountable for those that were forced to take the COVID-19 mandate, the shot. And then many of those that got out of the military, they left there, and they tried to bring them back in. They started offering all kinds of goodies and that to come back. $50,000 sign up. $50,000 in. You know, and when I was in the service, I'd have to be in 5 years to earn that. Okay, and that's what they would give you. Why? Well, they want to get these guys back into the ones that got away from them, and so now Austin and Millie, do you remember when we were having our big battle with the War College?
Oh yeah. Oh, I remember that vividly, Pastor.
And
that was out in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas.
Yep. And we were exposing them, and they tried to, just unbelievable, try to convince us. In that situation, for the folks out there didn't know, they come out with a paper saying that Christians should not be able to serve in the military. And they actually quoted it. Zacharias, which you just talked about tonight, chapter 14. And they actually quoted Ezekiel 36-38, as passages of Scripture saying that here that our alliance are to Christ, the Lord Jesus, and not to the New World Order. Therefore, we should not be able to serve in the military. And we got into it. Remember, there was a big...
Right. They claimed that we were going to trigger Armageddon to bring in Christ.
Absolutely.
And that all the brass in Washington had to review this and beware of it and take action on it. It was amazing, Pastor Ernie, and I found out about it, and I contacted the colonel there in charge in the school in Leavenworth, and I told him, I said, this is all nonsense, complete nonsense. You've got this posted here, and I said, I want to file a counter paper. He laughed at me. So I couldn't get anybody to support me on this. I mean, the military, there was like a fifth column in there trying to come after us.
So I contacted Admiral Mullins at the Pentagon.
And you picked it up right away, Pastor Ernie.
I called Admiral Mullins' office at the Pentagon. And it's the same thing. They put some young lieutenant on there trying to convince me that I had things all wrong. And so I asked him, well, wait a minute, here's the documentation I've got right in front of me. Tell me what's wrong. Well, you know, he went this way and went that way. But again, you know, it's the propaganda piece. You know, I tell you what, you know, we got to take our military back. Their coup has taken place, and we have high treason in our military. And in the second hour, we're going to take a listen to what has happened, what is happening out there right now. But here's the thing, John. They got caught. What we were telling people about, remember how we were telling people that Big Pharma, Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson, they were reporting. They were taking their orders right from the Pentagon. The Pentagon instructing them. Yeah.
Yes, they were, Pastor Ernie. The Pentagon was behind this.
And remember, we were telling people, nobody was talking about that. We were telling people, you know, listen to me. And the military don't get involved with that. And we were telling them, well, guess what? Now we have the evidence. We got it in writing. We got their own records. We got their own records on this, and it shows you how they purposely experimented, bioweapons on our soldiers. And so we're going to be taking a look at that in the second hour of tonight's program. But anyhow, I'm going to switch just for a few minutes. I want to switch over here. Unsealed docs reveal Epstein would call Leonardo DiCaprio, Bruce Willis, and more. Well, it looks like they're coming out of the woodwork right now with all of these people on Epstein's island. All of these Democrats just loaded. Okay, now, but only one person was vindicated in all of this. All of these top, very well-known politicians, one of them was vindicated, right? Two very well-known politicians, the media went after, were at Epstein's Island, and one of them was Bill Clinton, the other was, none other than Donald Trump. But Donald Trump was vindicated. Because all the way back, do you remember back around 2001, 2002, when they were interviewing Donald Trump, and they asked him about Bill Clinton. I remember watching the whole thing, and they asked him, "What's your opinion of him?" And Trump, remember, Trump was a Democrat. Trump was a Democrat. And Trump said, well, he's a nice enough guy. Bill Clinton's a nice enough guy. But he's got to stay away from that island. That island is a very, very bad place. That island, you shouldn't go near that island. It's a terrible thing. And so what happened when they tried to get, to associate Epstein with Trump, the Mar-a-Lago, Epstein was at Trump's Mar-a-Lago, and Trump expelled him for life because he caught him trying to fool around with a young girl. Epstein there, and but none of that stuff is coming out. You see, it only comes out on radio programs like this, but it is coming out too. World News Daily's putting that out, and these others. But now all of these people are being caught. The what was his name? The fellow who was that great magician. You haven't heard from him in a long time. Yeah, David Copperfield. Yeah. Was another one.
Michael Jackson was there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the guy that's really trying to. The lawyer, the Jewish lawyer, Dershowitz. What's his name? Pardon?
Alan Dershowitz.
Dershowitz, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was there. He was actually there more than Clinton. And. He's saying that he had to be there because Epstein was one of his key clients, and he was out there over 100 times. Do you think that was necessary? Well, we'll see how it...
No, Pastor Ernie. I mean, that really sticks out really bad for him. Really bad.
All right, we're coming up to a break. John, when we come back from the break, we're going to take a look at what we're talking about, where they're using that experimental drug upon the people. So everything that we said, remember, we talked about this over a year ago, and now we've got it in writing. So hang tight. We'll be back right after this with more. Don't go away.
Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know. Streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime, on any screen, at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.